He began to run possibilities through his mind. Possibility one, he hadn't been sent to surveil Marilyn Monroe by accident. He knew Hollywood stars were well represented on Fort Lee's list of surveillance subjects, for a number of good reasons. For one thing, they were used to being followed by the press, and wouldn't find it unusual having another body camped outside their door. Another reason Hollywood stars were good surveillance subjects was because they were relatively easy to find, and then equally easy to follow and document. Their lives were more than public. Their professions were public, meaning their comings and goings were a matter of public record in gossip columns and the like. Dingler also knew certain celebrities were not on the Fort Lee list. At Lee, he'd heard rumors about a surveillance of Rock Hudson the year before that had backfired, resulting in Hudson's name being removed from the list forever. It was said Hudson was a homosexual, and it wasn't Fort Lee's intention to reveal private information that would damage the subject and draw attention to its own training practices. The subjects were supposed to be innocuous, damage-proof, and thoroughly ordinary. Marilyn Monroe was anything but ordinary, and when the elements of a president and his attorney general were stirred in, Dingler feared he might have been sent to witness something. What, he wasn't sure, and the ramifications frightened him. Possibility two, he was sent in blind. Without anyone's knowledge, Monroe was having an affair with the Attorney General of the United States. This scenario frightened Dingler even more. If it were discovered he had knowledge of what was going to happen, and Dingler was sure something would occur that would prevent Marilyn Monroe from having her press conference Monday morning, then he would be in extreme jeopardy. Possibility three. Robert Kennedy discovered the FBI had placed Marilyn Monroe's home under surveillance and ordered it stopped. If so, then the man in the Ford van probably worked for someone else, possibly a private investigator. If so, Dingler would be able to walk away free, although come Monday morning, the Kennedy administration would pay dearly for the sexual favors its leaders received from Marilyn Monroe. There was a lesser jeopardy here that his report, filed at Fort Lee, might attract scrutiny from the FBI and embroil him in unwanted controversy and attention. He could circumvent the entire matter by going to the FBI with the photos of Marilyn's diary and everything else he knew, thereby warning the administration and perhaps endearing himself to it. If the administration were already aware of what was happening, though, he could present himself as an unwanted witness to events best kept unwitnessed. Of course, there was the worst-case scenario. Robert Kennedy ordered the FBI to cease bugging, and they continued anyway, which meant David Dingler might find himself in the very awkward, perhaps life-threatening position of hostile witness against the Bureau. Dingler reassured himself such things didn't happen, not the life-threatening part. Still, the reputation of J. Edgar Hoover scared the hell out of him.